Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see all of you here tonight. Obviously, I am not Phil Fisher. So if you were here last week, Phil Fisher was like, hey, I'm going to be preaching next week. And obviously, he's not here. Well, that's because he's not feeling well. He's sick. But he asked me if he could do next week. And I said, yeah, go for it. So he'll be here next week to preach as well. So just keep praying for Phil and Ashley. Pray that whatever's, he didn't tell me really what was going on, but whatever sickness he's going through comes and goes quickly. And, you know, it's not anything major or anything that lasts very long, because when you're working all the time and you got a kid and then you're doing a church, I mean, sickness is just, you know, another hurdle that you got to jump over. So hopefully he gets over it soon. But I love the songs that we sing. Hopefully it's a reminder to you to understand that because he lives, we live. Amen, church. I hope that you can say that tonight, that because he lives, we live. Because we would not have life unless Jesus Christ is alive. And praise the Lord, he is alive. Amen. Isaiah 42:5 says, thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and in spirit to those who walk in it. God is the builder. God is the designer. I mean, you step out and you step outside. It was a beautiful day today, and you step outside and you see all of what God has made, all the beauty that you see, the trees and the flowers and everything. All of it has been made by God, by his voice. He spoke it into existence. There is no greater builder than God himself. There is no one who can build like God does. There is no one who can create a world by their voice but the Lord alone. And I hope that is what you know, that every person, whether a believer or non-believer, has been made by the living God. For we all have been created in his image. All of us have been created in his image. And see, each of us are building a life. Each of us are building a life right now. We're building families, and some of us are building careers and relationships. Some of us are building ministries and futures. The list goes on and on and on. Many people are building in their life. The question is not, are you building something? We're all building something. The question is, what are you building and what are you building it on? What are you building and what are you building it on? So the question tonight is, where is your foundation? Where do you stand? What are you building your life on? And this is important, because how you answer that question determines how strong your building is going to be. Determines how strong your life is going to be. You have to know tonight, what is your foundation? Where do you build your life on? Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to be tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open up your word, as we listen to what you have before us, Lord, let it speak to us in a mighty way. Let us not leave here unchanged. Let us do what you've called us to do. Let us put the word into action. Let us be better disciples from it. Let us learn and grow in our walk with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24 is where we're going to be. But Jesus has just really got done preaching probably the greatest sermon that's ever been preached, that anybody could possibly preach. And that's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus just got done preaching about some really amazing things. In fact, it says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. See, no one taught like Jesus taught. Why? Because he had the authority to teach it. He's the living God. He knows all things. He knows your very heart. He knows what's in your life. He has the authority to teach about these things. And he taught, we see the Beatitudes. We see how we're supposed to be the light of the world. He talks about anger and he talks about lust. We see how we should love our enemies. We see how we shouldn't worry. We see how we should pray and how we should fast. And the list goes on and on. He teaches us the way to heaven. What a beautiful sermon. What a beautiful, I can't imagine what that must have been like, just teaching after teaching after after teaching things they've never heard before. Things they've never heard of before. And now he ends the Sermon on the Mount with, where should we build our house? Where should we build our life? Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, it says there, "For anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Here we see there are two guys, two men, a wise man and a foolish man, and they both have built houses. They both have built their houses, and it seems to be that they're about the same house, right? There's nothing really different about these houses, right? They probably look the same. They're probably about the same. They're about the same bigness, largeness, whatever you want to say. Right, they look similar, right? They both go through the same storms, right? The same winds, the same streams rose, all of those things, they're all the same. And they both heard Jesus' words. All three, both the same, but there's a major difference. What's the difference? Is that what was their foundation on? One was on the rock, and one was on the sand. And this is not something to be taken lightly, church. Why? Because both have very different outcomes. Very different outcomes. The one stands and the one falls. Not a little fall, but a great fall. Destroyed. Destruction. This is why this is very important. Look at verse 24 again. It says, "Therefore, if anyone hears these words of mine and put them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Here we see the guy who is classified as the wise man. Why was he wise? Because he built his house on the rock. That's as simple as that. He built his house on the rock. It doesn't say because he built the greatest house or the most magnificent house or the house that cost the most money. He was wise simply because he built his house on the rock. And many people live lives that look strong, that look beautiful and amazing, but when tested, it crumbles into pieces. It doesn't last. Why? Because it's not built on the rock. It's built on something else. It's built on the sand, something that's not strong. And see, here we find that Jesus is the rock. What does he say? He says, if anyone hears the words of mine and puts them into practice, that's what he says. That's what classifies a wise man. The one who hears Jesus and the one who puts it into practice. Hearers of the word and not just doers. Here we see that Jesus is the rock. Amen? Do we know that? Jesus is the rock, and there is no rock like him. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is the only foundation that is strong enough to hold up a life, that to build a life on, not money, not other religions, not people, not relationships. None of those things can hold a life. Only Jesus, who is the rock of our salvation, can hold up our life. He's the only one strong enough to hold a life. See, a life built on Jesus is not accidental. It takes effort. It takes discipline. All of those things. It takes those things. See, the man didn't just get lucky to build his house on the rock. He didn't just stumble upon the rock and say, man, I'll happen to put it here. It wasn't accidental. He thought about it. He was intentional about it. He said, I'm going to build my house on something that's solid. I'm going to build my house on a rock, something that's strong and sturdy. It takes effort, it takes discipline, it takes being intentional about it. And maybe you're asking, well, what do I need to do to start building on Jesus? Well, I'll say it again. What does he say? He says, be hearers of the word and doers of the word. It's as simple as that. Be hearers of the word and doers of the word. You can't just be hearers of the word. You've got to be doers. Also, you've got to put his words into practice. James 1:22-25 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they are blessed in what they do. See, we are blessed not just by hearing the word, but actually putting it into practice. That's the only possible way you can be blessed by the Word of God. It's the only possible way. You have to put it into practice. You have to do what it says. You can't just read it. That's what Jesus is saying. See, a life built on Jesus is a blessed life. It's a strong life. It's a life of security. It's a life of safety. It's a life of peace, free from worry. Can you imagine if your house was built on something that wasn't sturdy? Can you imagine living in like Kansas or you know, Missouri, the tornado alley, and you lived in a trailer? There are many people that do. Can you imagine when you hear that there's a giant tornado coming, right? There's worry that's set in because you're thinking that any moment that tornado could sweep by and rip my house off the ground. But when we build our life on Jesus, there is no storm that can rip your house out. There's nothing that can wash it away. And think about living on the beach and you hear hurricanes coming. Right, there's worry. Because your house is on stilts, with on sand. It's scary. And I can imagine, when before Christ, I had no security, no safety in my life. But with Christ, I can be secured. I can be assured that I will not fall. Right? It says here, it says, the rain came down and the streams rose and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. On the rock. Verse 26 says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Here we see the other guy. The foolish guy, the guy who's classified as the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And what makes this man foolish is the opposite of what made the other man wise, right? He heard the words of Jesus, but he didn't do them. Right? He's like what James said. He looked at himself in the mirror and he goes away and forgets who he is. Can you imagine if I looked in the mirror and I went away and it's like, do I have blonde hair? Did I have blue eyes? Right, how silly is that? The same thing is when you hear God speak and you don't do what it says. When you hear when you read your Bibles and you're convicted of what you need and you know that you're supposed to do and you don't do what it says, it's as silly as looking at yourself in the mirror and forgetting what you look like. That's the point that's being made. It's foolish. It's silly. It's foolish that we hear the Word of God and we don't do what He says. And see, knowing Scripture is not the same thing as doing it. I pray to the Lord that you know Scripture, but oh, I'll pray way more that you do what it says. It's not the same as doing it. And listening to a sermon is not the same as living it out. My heart here is that you listen to the message. Not my words, but what the Lord says. But it means nothing if you don't put it into practice. It means nothing if you don't live it out. And you don't do what it says. See, church, it's about obedience. Obedience, and many of us struggle with it. Many of us struggle to obey. Many of us struggle for obedience because it takes effort. Right? Obedience doesn't come naturally. It takes effort, and it's normally not the easy road. Right? It's typically the harder road. Right? You have to do something maybe you didn't want to do, or go somewhere you didn't want to do. Right? Deal with something you didn't want to deal with, whatever it may be, right? It's typically not the easy road. And why did this man build his house on the sand? Really simply because it's easier. Right? If you know really anything about rocks and sand, rock is much harder than sand. Right? To build a house on a rock, you gotta chisel it, you gotta make it smooth, whatever, it takes a lot of effort. When I did HVAC work, it was way better to drill through a house that was wood than it was to try to punch a hole through concrete. Amen, Kyle? Yeah, much different. He took the easy way. He took the easier way. See, we find ourselves choosing the easy way rather than God's way. And let me just promise you something. You'll find yourself in trouble when you do that. When you begin to take the easy way rather than the way that God wants us to take, rather than building our life on Him, rather than doing what He says, we'll find ourselves not ending well, right? This is the same thing that happens to this foolish man, right? It doesn't end well. His house falls with a great crash. See, I don't think this man woke up that day thinking, you know what, I think I'm going to build my house the foolish way. I don't think that's how he woke up. You know what I think? Sand, you know, that is the worst possible thing you could possibly build a house on. I think I'm going to do that today. I don't think that's what he did. I don't think he woke up that day thinking that I'm going to build the foolish way. See, the problem wasn't his intentions, church. He wasn't rebelling. He wasn't stubborn. It's simply he did not care. Right? He may have had good intentions. Right? He wasn't rebelling. Right? Someone didn't say, hey, build your house on the rock. And he was like, no way, I'm doing it on the sand. Right? He just said, the sand's easier. I don't really care to build it anywhere else, right? He doesn't care. And this is what I want us to understand tonight is even though you may have good intentions don't build a strong life. Good intentions don't build a strong life. See, many people are not seeking God, not because they are stubborn or even rebellious, but simply because they do not care. Now, are there people that are rebellious and stubborn? Absolutely. But there are many people who do not follow God, who do not build their life on the rock simply because they don't care to. Right? I don't really care to come to Christ. Right? I'm not really a religious person. Right? I don't really think about these things. Right? That's a person who does not care. Who does not care. And so let me ask you, churches, do you care? Do you care to build your life on Christ? Do you care what you build it on? Do you care that you're built on the rock, or do you simply just go the easy way? Do you simply just go the easy way? See, the foolish man heard the word of God, but again, that's not enough. It's not enough just to hear. And the Christian life is not about gaining more knowledge. It's not about hearing an amazing band. It's or listening to an inspiring message. It's not about any of those things. It's not about your church attendance. Again, it is simply about obedience. It's simply about following the Lord. See, the foolish man probably looked at his house and he was probably like, wow, that's a nice house. That's a good looking house. I did a good job. That's a good looking house. It looks solid. It looks great on the outside. It looks amazing. I put a lot of work and a lot of effort into it. I thought it was beautiful. Everything you would want a house to look like. And see, many people are striving to look the part. Right? To look like a Christian. To do what they, to look what they think, right? In order to be close to God, right? To be close to Jesus, right? If I come to church, if I wear a cross necklace, if I listen to Christian music, but let me tell you, church, looking like a Christian is not the same as living it out. Looking like a Christian is definitely not the same as actually being a Christian, actually living it out. A Christian is somebody who hears the word of God and does it. They don't just put on a nice shirt that has "I love Jesus" on it. Nothing wrong with those things. Let me be clear. Nothing's wrong with those things. But it's so more valuable to actually have Jesus here. To actually build your life on Him, because that's what actually matters. That's what actually does something. See, John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commands. That's what Jesus says. If you love me, if you care about me, if you want to follow me, then keep my commands. Do what I say. Jesus didn't say, if you love me, tattoo a cross on you. He didn't say, if you love me, just go to church, give a little bit of money. He didn't say, wear this or that. Jesus didn't say any of that. He said simply, if you love me, do what I say. If you love me, keep my commands. Keep following me. Don't just look like a believer, actually be a believer. Don't just look like a disciple, actually be a disciple. He said, keep my commands. And do you love Jesus? And if you do love Jesus, hear His words and do what they say. I hope this message is simple tonight. Do what He says when He says to do something. And maybe you're asking, well, why is this really important? Because listen to me, sooner or later the storm is coming. Why is it important right now to figure out what foundation you're going to put your life on? Is because sooner or later the storm is coming. Verse 27, it says, the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. A great crash. See, both of these men had the same storm. The same hardship, the same pain, the same suffering. And to me, this is a reminder that we all face storms in life. Nobody's off of it. We all go through hardships, the believer and the non-believer. Storms don't discriminate, trust me. If I went around the room, we'd all have a storm we went through in life. Some of us are going through one right now. Some of us are going through hardships and pains right now. See, storms do not discriminate. They are a promise. They are a promise that they're going to happen. The question is, what happens when the storm hits your life? Do you shake? Does it shake you? Does it move you? Does it destroy you? Because the one who builds their house on the sand falls. Right? It says it fell with a great crash. The wise man built his house on the rock, and it stood. The foolish man built his house on the sand, and simply it fell with a great crash. It led to destruction. Wasted nothing. So why is this important? Because your house depends on it. Your life depends on it. And we look at hardships and we're like, these hardships are bad. They're no good. And let's be honest, they're not great. Right? I'm not up here saying that we should be celebrating our hardships, but I think the Bible is very clear that our sufferings and our pains are valuable. Not that they're easy, or even that they're great, but they are valuable. 1 Peter 1:6 through 7. It says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. See, storms show us where we stand. That's the point of hardships and pains and sufferings in our life, because it reveals to us where our trust is, where our faith is, where we put our trust in, where our house is built. Right? If the storm never came for the man on the sand, he would have thought he was all good. But when the storm came, he realized it was not all good, right? It shows us where our priorities are, where we stand. In Romans 5:3-4 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Storms not only show where we stand, but they reveal our character. They reveal who you are. Are you patient? Are you kind? Are you compassionate? Do you love people? Do you forgive? Storms produce those things in our life. They produce endurance. And for those that have built their house on the rock, they produce hope. Hope. Assurance. They reveal our character. See, you can fake strength, church. A lot of people stand up and say, I'm strong. A lot of people stand up and say, I'm at peace. But in reality, they're not. And when a storm comes, it reveals the truth. When hardships and pains come, it reveals the truth. Am I really building my life on Christ, or am I building my life on my own self? The easy way. The things that I want to. So let me encourage you, though, that there's a promise in all of this. In all of this, there's a promise that those who build their life on the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ, will not be destroyed. They'll not perish. They'll not be swept away. Every hardship in your life, for those that have built their house on the rock, Jesus Christ, listen to me, you'll make it through it. You'll make it to the other side. That's a promise from Jesus Christ, that Jesus walks with us in the storm. Jesus walks with us. Every storm we see with the disciples, Jesus ends up being there. And that's what you can count on in your life, is though when you build your house on the rock, that it may get hard, it may get tough, it may feel like the wind is not going to stop, it keeps going and keeps going, but listen to me, let me encourage you by saying Jesus will be there. Jesus will be there, for He is your rock. I hope that you can say that tonight. He is your rock, He's the one you rely on for your strength. For your endurance, for your perseverance. Why? Because Jesus is stronger than any storm of your life. He's stronger than any storm of your life. He's stronger than your storm of your family. He's stronger than your financial storm. He's stronger than the storm of your marriage. There's no storm that can destroy those that build their life on Jesus Christ. Again, that's a promise. You can't be destroyed. For we can say, oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory? Because He lives, we live. And now that we've settled that, now that we've settled what are you building your life on, where's your foundation, the question is, then what are you building? I pray that you, this is why we're talking about foundation is first. You've got to build it on the right foundation. The next question is, what are you building? What are you building? Is it glorifying to the Lord? Does it uplift the Lord? Does it glorify the King? Psalms 127 verse 1. It is amazing. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Here again, what are you allowing to build your life? See, God is not just our foundation. He is our foundation. He is our rock. But He's also our architect. He's also our architect. He's the one who should be designing and planning what our life looks like, because He knows what's best for your life. It is Christ, it is our rock, who's the architect, who knows what's the best design for your life, where you need to be, where you need to go, what you need to do. It is Him who knows all of those things. And when we try to build for ourselves and design our own life, it's not fulfilling. It's not satisfying, as if I let God design it, because what God designs is beautiful. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's unimaginable. That's what God designs. That's what God plans. But my plans, they don't add up to what God can do. And many times they add up to nothing. To nothing. And see, I believe God has a plan for your life, a design. The problem we get into is when we try to do things that God has never designed us to do. Are you trying to do things God has not designed you to do? That God has not planned you to do? Go into directions you were never supposed to go, and then we ask God, strengthen it. Strengthen it. And this is exactly what this verse is saying. In a nutshell, it's saying that God is not going to bless what He didn't build. God is not going to bless what He didn't build. So again, is God the architect of your life? Is God building your life? Because again, we will not be blessed unless we allow God to build it. Blessings come when we surrender the building of our life to the Lord. When we give our life to the Lord. And maybe in the back of your mind, you probably wouldn't say it here right now. You might think, well, it's my life. Shouldn't I be the one planning it? Shouldn't I be the one designing it? In reality, church, it's not. It's not your life. Especially if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been bought. It's His life now. It's His life. But even the non-believer, even if you're here tonight and you don't believe in God, let me just clarify for you for 1 minute. Your life is still God's life. For He breathed life into man. And we all are created in His image. Even those who do not trust Him, who do not believe in Him, who do not think He exists, in reality, what is real, what is true, is their life is still God's. They may not recognize it, they may not want it, but it is still the Lord. It is still the Lord. And listen to me, that's reassuring to me. It is reassuring to me to know that my life is not mine, it is the Lord, because I can't handle my life. I can't handle my life. It's too hard. It's too messy. But the promise is the Lord can. Because the Lord's plans never fail. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You can have a whole blueprint of your life, but it can fail. A whole blueprint. Have it all laid out. You got your 5-year plan, your 10-year plan, your 15-year plan, whatever that looks like for you. You got your vision board, whatever that looks like. And maybe this is not the most encouraging, but they can fail when it's not built on Jesus. And in fact, at the end of your life, if it's never been built on Jesus, it will fail. It will ultimately be destroyed. See, many of us struggle in life because we haven't given Him the blueprint of our life. Because we haven't let Him design it. We haven't let Him be in control. Until we are willing to let God design and plan our life, all we will do will be just in vain. That's what the verse says, right? Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless you let God build your house, all the work you do, the work you do to build your careers, the work you do to build your relationships is ultimately in vain. It ultimately leads to nothing. But when God is the architect, when we allow Him to do the work, it's never in vain. For God's work is never in vain. Amen, church? Do you know that? God's work is never in vain. But for those that allow Him to be the architect, to give Him the blueprint, will reap a blessing of the Lord. They'll be blessed. So how do we let the Lord be the architect of our life? Again, we must surrender it to Him. Does this not seem like something simple? You must give it to Him. You must say, Lord, whatever Your will is for my life, whatever You have designed for me, I want to follow it. I want to actually trust in You. I want to actually give You my life. If it's to go the complete opposite direction of my plan, I want to do that. Because I know Your plans are going to be better than the direction that I'm going. Your way is going to be better than my way. See, God will always build a better life than you can. He'll always build a better life than anyone can. All we need to do is trust in the Lord to build what only He can build. All we got to do is let God do what only He can do. Build a life. You can't build a life. I can't build a life. Not one that glorifies the Lord. Not one that satisfies the soul. That's impossible. But the architect of the world, the universe, has the power to build a wonderful life that was headed for destruction and now headed to eternity. That's a promise to those that believe. To those that build their life on the rock will stand not just on this side of heaven, but for all of eternity. What are you going to do when you get bad news? What are you going to do when some major storm in your life that completely just wrecks it? What are you going to do when all that happens? Oh, I pray we praise Him. I pray that your house is built on the rock. I pray that you have put yourself in a place where you can say, even though it may be difficult, that I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm going to trust in His plan. I'm going to trust in His direction. And maybe you're here tonight and you have been building your life on the sand. Well, simply, it's time to build your life on the rock. It's time to be hearers of the Word and do what it says. To put it into practice. And maybe you're here and you're building your own life. You haven't been letting the Lord build it. And you're tired. And you're weary. Trust me when I tell you from experience, building my own life is exhausting. There's no joy, right? My joy depletes. Nothing satisfies it. Tired and weary. Again, I'll say, let the Lord build what only He can. If that's you tonight, again, I'll say it like James says it. How foolish would it be to hear the Word of God and not do what it says? As foolish as looking at yourself in a mirror and forgetting what you look like. So the question again is, what are you building and what are you building it on? Let's stand, church. Lord, tonight as we open this altar to you, Lord, your will be done. Lord, speak to us. Maybe we could be building it better. Maybe there's areas of our life that we haven't fully given to you. Maybe we just need to praise you tonight, saying, Lord, thank you for building the life that you built for me. Lord, you deserve all of this. You, Lord, are our helper, our encourager, and you, Lord, deserve all the praise. All the praise. You are the King of glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open for whatever the Lord has spoken to you.